Last week we talked about Jacob, and we saw that although he was a deceiver, that he was also a believer in the promises of God. And one of the things we talked about was how he deceived his father in order to steal his brother Esau's blessing. Well, after this, Esau was so furious at Jacob that he planned to kill him, to murder his brother. But Rebekah heard about this plan, and she urged Jacob to go away, to run away to her brother's home in the old country. And Isaac blessed Jacob, and Jacob was sent away to Laban, Rebekah's brother, with instructions to find a wife there and stay until Esau had time to get over his anger. Through deceit, Jacob had obtained the blessing of the firstborn, but now he has to run away with only his staff and the clothes on his back because his life is in danger. Jacob ran and he's tired, and one night he stops at a certain place. And he had no pillows, so he used a stone to rest his head upon. And the Lord sent him a dream. Genesis chapter 28 verse 12 tells us, he had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. So here is how Noel painted the scene of Jacob's stairway there for us. Thank you, Noel. In the dream, the Lord promised to bring Jacob back to the promised land, to give him the land and many descendants, and to bless all peoples of the earth through him. And this promise is very similar to the promise that was given to Abraham, and Isaac is now passed on to Jacob. Almost the very same words. The next morning, Jacob arose and he worshipped God in that place, and he named the place Bethel, the house of God. And Genesis 28, verses 20 through 22 tells us, then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. And he set the stone he had used for a pillow up as a pillar and as an altar before the Lord. And so Jacob went on to Haran, where he worked for his uncle Laban as a shepherd for 20 years before he returned to the promised land. In Haran, Jacob fell in love with Laban's daughter, Rachel. He fell in love with the girl, and he worked for 7 years to obtain her so that he could get her for his wife. But on the night of the wedding, after the wedding festivities, Laban, they didn't have electric lights, right? It's dark. Laban brings a girl to him and says, here is your wife. And Jacob goes and sleeps with her. And the next morning he gets up and says, what happened? It's not Rachel, it's Leah. He was deceived. He worked 7 more years to get Rachel as his second wife. And after Jacob had worked 14 years for Laban's daughters, he worked 6 more years for wages of cattle and sheep, herds of animals. And during this time, Jacob became rich, even though Laban tried to trick him and changed his wages 10 times. By the way, how many people have watched a little bit of the Olympics, the opening ceremony or something? Some people see that? Okay. Well, Rachel and Leah had their own competition going on, Leah and Rachel. You might call it the Baby Olympics, trying to have as many sons as possible. As a result, at the end of chapter 30 in Genesis, Jacob has 11 sons by 4 different ladies, his wives Leah and Rachel, plus their maidservants, Zilpah and Bilhah. For those who are keeping score, Leah was ahead by quite a bit. During the 20 years that he spent with Laban, Jacob learned many lessons. He learned what it was like to live in the field and to watch over the sheep. He learned what it felt like to be manipulated and deceived by others, even as he had deceived his brother Esau and his father Isaac. But I think that Jacob also learned a more positive thing. I think that Jacob also learned in 20 years of life as a shepherd how to wait on the Lord and to wait for the Lord's timing. In Genesis 31, verse 3, then the Lord said to Jacob, go back to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you. His time of waiting was over. He gathers his wives, his children, his flocks, his servants, and all that he has, and he departs to return to the promised land, because God has told him it's time to go home. Because Jacob left without telling Laban that he was going, Laban is very angry. And he comes to Jacob with armed men and he overtakes him. And also, although Jacob did not know about it, Rachel had stolen Laban's household idols, his little gods, carved idols, and she hid them. Laban searched, but he did not find the stolen goods, the stolen idols. And finally, although angry, they let Jacob go and they make a covenant of peace, a non-aggression treaty between them, and they separate. Genesis 32, verses 1 and 2, Jacob also went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, this is the camp of God. Jacob is guarded by God's angels now as he prepares to enter the promised land again. But even so, he is terrified and fearful, very fearful in his heart when he hears that his brother Esau is on his way to meet him with 400 men. Sounds like more than a friendly greeting if you're coming with 400 men to meet somebody. Jacob divides his people and his flock into two groups, thinking if Esau attacks one, then at least the other group will escape. And then Jacob prays before the Lord. He gives thanks to God for watching over him for 20 years. He gives thanks to God for making him prosper in the land where he was exiled. And in verse 11 of chapter 32, he says, save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me and also the mothers with their children. After praying, Jacob selected 550 animals from his herds and his flocks, and he sent them ahead in groups as gifts to his brother Esau to calm his anger and to urge him to be at peace. And in the end, when they do meet, Esau and Jacob, the brothers who've been separated for 20 years, they meet with joy and with celebration and not with anger. So I think the gifts help. But first, before that meeting, Jacob will have to endure a fateful night of trial, a most unusual evening and night. Let's read about that. Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 to 32. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. An unusual night. Penuel is sometimes said. The word means the face of God. And it's good to remember this, because sometimes you'll see churches or ministries that use the word Penuel in the name of their church or the name of their ministry. By giving this name to the place, Jacob makes it very clear that he understood that he had met God and wrestled with God himself. That it was the Lord he wrestled with. Now, for Jewish scholars, and even for some Christians, this is a very difficult passage. Because they ask, how can a man wrestle with God? How could a man wrestle with God? Faced with such questions, some Bible students and scholars even try to say, well, maybe it was just a vision or a dream. Maybe it wasn't a real battle, so to speak. But the text seems very clear. There's no mention of a dream or a vision. It seems very clear that Jacob literally wrestled with the Lord all night. And he gets a real injury, a real wound from the wrestling. But he also gets a new name. A new man is brought forth. He's no longer to be called Jacob. Now his name is Israel. A new name, a new identity. Jacob is changed. The passage is also full of prophetic meaning. Many different things here, just to mention one or two. Crossing the Jabbok River, that's the border, and he enters into the promised land. So this points toward, the idea of crossing the Jabbok points toward entering into all the promises of God. Jacob does not enter the promised land with his goods and his possessions. Instead, he sends his family and all he owns on ahead of him, and he is left alone outside the promised land to endure a difficult trial, a very mysterious evening. As Jesus taught, we also should learn to send our possessions on ahead to the promised land, to heaven. Jesus told us, he says, store up your treasure in heaven, not on this earth. Here in this world we have many trials, but we can send our treasure on ahead to heaven where it will be safe. Jacob is alone in the dark after he sends everyone away. He's alone. He's afraid because Esau is coming. And it's very likely that he continued to pray again and again to God for protection as he had prayed earlier. But then, there's a sound in the night, and a man appears. Verses 24 and 25 said, so Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. So after this, Jacob is always limping, right? He's always dragging one foot a little bit as he walks. He's wounded by the Lord. Wounded by the Lord. The man must be Jesus. We've had several of these appearances of Jesus in Genesis already. We've talked about that. Genesis is the Lord God, the second person of the Trinity, and he can choose to appear anywhere in history that he desires. And here it seems he comes to Jacob and wrestles with him in response to Jacob's prayer for safety. So Jacob says, give me safety, and the Lord brings wrestling, a battle. Not exactly what Jacob had in mind. Why? Why does the Lord do this? I think it's because God often gives us what we need instead of what we ask for, what we think we want. And Jacob needed something that could only be received through struggle, that could only be received through wrestling with God. That was the only way to receive what Jacob needed. And so that's what the Lord did. Jesus does not use his supernatural power as God. Of course, he could instantly overcome the entire universe, not just Jacob. But he refrains. He doesn't use his supernatural power. He uses only the strength, perhaps, of the body that he was born with in Bethlehem much later. And in the strength of the body, Jacob and Jesus seem to be pretty evenly matched, neither overcoming the other. But then Jesus reaches out and he wounds Jacob in the hip. Jacob is wounded. Can't wrestle very well probably anymore. Yet he clings to Jesus and will not let him go. He clings to him and won't let go. And he says in verse 26, the man, Jesus first says, "Let me go, for his daybreak." But Jacob replies, "I will not let you go unless you bless me. I won't let go unless you bless me." You see, by this time, Jacob already knows his opponent is no ordinary man. That's why he asked for a blessing. If it was an ordinary man, he would have no reason to ask for a blessing. But he realizes it's not, and perhaps he already realizes it's the Lord himself, and he asks for the blessing. In verse 27 and 28, the man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. And the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." He gets a new name. But do you remember back in Genesis chapter 27? When Isaac was old and blind and Jacob came to him disguised, and Jacob goes to him and Isaac says, "Who is there?" And Jacob says, "It is your eldest son Esau." And he lies about who he is. He lies about who he is. This time, though, when he's asked of the Lord, "What is your name?" he tells the truth. Jacob answers honestly. In that honest answer, I think there is a kind of a repentance and a confession of the truth. Because Jacob can mean deceiver. We talked about that before. So Jacob is, in giving his correct name, and he's admitting his sinfulness, saying, in fact, "My name is deceiver." You know, when we mess up, we've done something wrong, when we've failed a temptation or trial, the Lord often comes back and gives us a second chance with the very same temptation or the very same question. Jacob lied when he was asked who he was before, but now he tells the truth. He gets a second chance. And now he receives a new name, the name Israel, a name which speaks of one who struggles with God or who has power with God, and a name which can also mean Prince of God. Verse 29, Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" And then he blessed him there. Jacob already knew by now who the man was. He knew it was the Lord. That's why he asked for the blessing. And the Lord blesses Jacob. Now, this is interesting because we saw back in Genesis 28 that Jacob has already received the blessing that was given to Abraham and Isaac. Jacob received that blessing back in chapter 28. But now he's given a new blessing. Something must be new. Something must be different as he receives the blessing of the new name Isaac. Now you remember Jacob stole the blessing from his brother Esau because he had seen that it went to one of the sons, from Abraham to Isaac. And then through tricking his brother and his father, he received it and it went to Jacob. One of the sons received the blessing. But now with the name Israel and with this new blessing, we're going to see in the following chapters, especially when we get to Genesis 49, now all of Israel's sons are blessed. All of his sons are blessed, not just one of them, each with their own blessing. That's something very new and different. Now, there will still be a particular line of blessing that leads to the Messiah, a very special line of blessing. But all of Israel's sons receive a blessing, a portion of the inheritance of the blessing of God. The prophet Hosea tells us a little more about Jacob and about what happened that night. Hosea chapter 12, verses 3 through 5. Speaking of Jacob, it says, "In the womb he grasped his brother's heel. As a man he struggled with God. He struggled with the angel and overcame him. He wept and begged for his favor. He found him at Bethel and talked with him there. The Lord God Almighty, the Lord is his name of renown." Here the man who wrestled with Jacob is called an angel and is called God. The context makes it clear that it's the Lord. But notice what it says about Jacob on that night of wrestling. Jacob wept and begged when he asked for the blessing. That's a little different image than we might get by reading Genesis alone. Genesis doesn't spell it out. But after he's wounded, Jacob is weeping and begging for the blessing as he clings to the Lord and will not let go. You know, in order to receive the blessing the Lord has for us, sometimes we just have to cling to the Lord. And sometimes we have to weep and beg as we cling to the Lord and persevere through a long dark night to receive what God has for us in the morning. Not because God is slow in giving, because sometimes what has to change first is our heart. And it changes through that trial. Jacob, alone in the dark, his possessions sent on ahead, afraid, Jacob prayed. And the Lord came to Jacob. He comes to us in our time of need. But he brought a struggle. Struggling all night, the Lord had still not broken Jacob's resistance. Jacob was still strong, even though he was tired and afraid and alone. But then the Lord wounded Jacob in the hip. Still, Jacob clung to the Lord and asked for a blessing, weeping and begging. And the Lord gave him the blessing he asked for, but only after Jacob confessed his true identity, deceiver. And then the Lord gave him a new name, Israel. The idea that the Lord wounded Jacob may be disturbing. It may bother some people. You know, the Lord is the great healer. He brings miracles of healing. He brings health. He brings many things. Why would he wound Jacob? Good question. I think, as best as I can tell, it must have been because Jacob's pride was an obstacle to Jacob receiving the blessing. And the only way his pride could be broken was through a long night of struggle and getting wounded in the end, seeing that he was not nearly as strong as he thought he was. I think it must have been because his pride had to be broken before he was ready to confess that he was a sinner, before he was ready to receive a new name, a new identity in the Lord. You know, the Lord cares about our bodies. He cares about us, and he provides sometimes dramatic healings. But there's something he cares about a lot more than the health or the strength of our bodies. He cares even more about our eternal salvation, about our soul. Our eternal salvation is far more important than our comfort in this world. And if there is no other way to bring us to repentance, to faith, and to trusting in him, then he will come and he will wound if he has to break down pride and to break down arrogance. Our stories are often a lot like Jacob's story. We often need to be separated from our possessions, and we need often to be wounded in some way before we are ready to confess our sins and repent. So many times people just won't repent until they've somehow been brought to that place by injury of some kind or pain. But when we overcome our pride and beg and weep before the Lord, then we receive a new start and we are restored and we are made new and given a new name. In fact, you know, Revelation 2:17, after a command to repent, the Lord says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it." The Lord has a new name, a new identity, a new mission to give to each and every person if we humble ourselves and come to Him. Overcoming our pride by surrendering to the Lord and letting Him take over our lives. And we can cling to Him and seek the blessing that He gives. Cling to the Lord and ask for His blessing. Hold on until you are able to overcome every obstacle. Receive the blessing, the new name, which speaks of a new identity in Christ, a new mission for your life in His church, serving Him, a mission with eternal purpose, leading to eternal salvation for many. Do you want to receive a special blessing from the Lord? Do you want to receive a special blessing? To receive, sometimes you have to wait. Sometimes you have to struggle for the blessing. Sometimes we need to weep and beg before the Lord, humbling ourselves. Jacob waited 20 years. 20 years. He struggled all night long clinging to the Lord. His old name, Jacob, spoke of his sin of deception. But when morning came, Jacob stood up. And yeah, he was wounded. Yeah, he was tired. But he was blessed in the Lord. And he had a new name, Israel. A name of blessing. Which even means, one of its meanings is Prince of God. You know, like Jacob, all of us are sinners. We've all done things we need to confess. We've all done things that we're not proud of and we need to turn to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. But you know what? When we come to the Lord and we cling to Him and we seek the blessing, He has a new name for each one. And even He makes us princes and princesses of His kingdom. Princes and princesses of God's kingdom. Adopted children of His family. He's the King. So if He adopts you as His son and daughter, then you're a prince or a princess. Oh, what blessings He has for us. Oh, how much He loves us. He loves us so much that He'll struggle with us to bring us to that point where we're ready to turn it over to Him and to trust in His blessing. Now, in prayer, we come before the Lord with many requests and we ask for many things. And that's okay. But because He loves us so much, sometimes the Lord gives us what we need instead of what we ask for, out of love. Jacob asked for safety. What did he get? Struggle, wrestling. He asked for safety, but he got struggle and wounded. He asked for safety, but he was wounded. Because God loved him so much that God would not allow him to live his whole life as Jacob, the deceiver, Instead, he wanted to make him Israel, the Prince of God. And the only way to do that was through struggle. When the sun came up, Jacob was wounded, but he was blessed. He was a new man. And we need to wrestle with God also, because we all need blessings that will change our lives. Pastor John Curson of Applegate Christian Fellowship, he's taught on this and he spoke about it, and he spoke about his own experience. Applegate's in the USA, for people who don't know. And he said, he put it this way in his own experience. He said, "I met God. I wrestled with God, and I will never walk the same." We don't walk the same after we've wrestled with God. It changes our walk. It changes our life. We walk with more humility. We walk with more patience, with more love for others. We walk differently after we have struggled with God. I was browsing about on the internet, which is a little dangerous, but it's very interesting to do. I found this painting by T.L. West, which I kind of liked. The words on the painting are an anonymous poem. Some people say they were found in the pocket of a soldier who died at Gettysburg during the American Civil War. But these words speak of something we've been talking about. They speak of how God often answers our prayers by giving us something different than we imagined, something different than we asked for, yet which is ultimately far better than our little prayer, because it blesses us far more, giving us something better, more wonderful than we ever imagined. Here's the way it goes. "I asked for strength that I might achieve. He made me weak that I might obey. I asked for health that I might do great things. He gave me grace that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. He gave me poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. He gave me weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. He gave me life that I might enjoy all things. I received nothing I had asked for, but he gave me all that I had hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed." Are you in the Lord this morning? If you're in Christ Jesus, trusting in him, clinging to him, then you can say also, we can all say, among all men and women, we are most richly blessed, for we have seen the face of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, the wonders of your love are amazing. When we turn to you, when we seek after you in prayer, you come to us. The answers that you give to our prayers are not always exactly what we ask for. As a matter of fact, they're usually much better, much more wonderful than we imagined. Jacob sought safety. Instead, he received a new name, a new blessing. He was made a new man that would never walk the same as the old Jacob. Lord, we often come asking for all kinds of different things, and your word encourages us to ask for everything we need. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to go boldly before your throne with every prayer, every request, everything that is on our heart. But help us also to have the faith to trust in your love and wisdom, and to accept with thanksgiving and joy the answer that you give us. knowing that it is far better than anything we might ask for or dream of. Lord, we don't often have the courage to pray to ask you to make us poor that we might be wise, or to make us weak that we might stand in trust of you. But we do ask, Lord, that you would come to each one, that you would reveal your face, that you would show up for us. And we know you do. Teach us to cling to you, to hold on to you in fair weather, and to hold on to you in the storms of life, to hold on to you when we are strong, and to hold on to you when we are tired and weak and wounded, to cling to you, because only in relationship with you can we receive the wonders of eternal blessings. First of all, salvation for ourselves, forgiveness of sins, eternal life, a place in heaven reserved for us, your Holy Spirit poured out on us. Also, Lord, we pray that our families, our friends, our loved ones, that none would be left behind or lost, but that each would meet Jesus, would see his face, and would trust in him. Lord, we do lift up our needs for healing. I want to pray especially this morning for Dan and Jill Perry's daughter, Katie, that's been hospitalized in the USA with a bacterial infection. Oh, Lord, stand her up. Grant her this healing and comfort and sustain this family. We lift her up to you. We thank you for Sam and how far you've brought him on the path to healing through a difficult surgery, and what a wonderful blessing it is to see him here this morning. We just pray, Lord, that you would bring him fully through this path and to complete healing and to new strength and new health. Lord, there are many others. I won't list them, but meet each need, Lord. Touch them with your healing hand and lift them up with your strength, and meet the needs for new jobs, the needs for new places of work, for new wisdom. Lord, we just come before you and we ask that you would come and be with us, and that you would bless us according to your plan and purpose, and that we might live and work according to your plan and purpose in your will. Lord, this week, many people will be going back to visit family. Lord, most of our church body have families who are not Christian. They do not know you. They do not seek after you. Lord, I pray for your protection for those who do know you. And I pray for your Holy Spirit to give them wisdom and boldness in sharing the love of Christ with their families and friends and all they meet. Help us, Lord, to be good witnesses of your love. In Jesus' holy name I pray, amen.